We're recording. There we go. Perfect.
So, Vinny, it's been such a long time. I'm really glad to see you again.
Yeah, me too. I was absolutely touched by meeting you, and I've not stopped. You know, maybe you're going to go against me on it, but I have some notes that I read out regularly about how I'd like to be. And, you know, in there, meeting Ajahn Damarado inspired to me to be an enlightened person. So perhaps listening to your talk with Guru Viking, my question is, so when we have the Mara, we have the suffering, and we have the thoughts, negative, etc., you say that throw it out, get rid of it. Now,
divert.
I beg your pardon?
Divert.
Yeah.
Have you ever played dodgeball?
Yes, as a kid.
Okay, we're playing dodgeball with unwholesome thoughts.
Correct.
Okay, get out of their way.
So then the technique, I'm coming up with something like I just tell myself next. So if something's bothering me, something's there, I'm like, okay, next, move on. Now, when we are getting rid of these unwholesome thoughts and we're working towards that, where do we reside ourselves? So we're here and we're having a bad day, or things are coming up and things aren't going well.
I don't think it's possible to have a bad day. The days are just days. The sun comes up, that goes around, and it sets in the west, and days are days.
Correct. That's great.
You can't have a bad day. What you can have is unwholesome thoughts about the day.
Okay. Yes, true. So then where am I presiding? Where am I bringing myself back to? The present, the breath, the moment?
Back to reality.
Which is?
And we experience reality in what is called the Satipatthana, which are the four foundations of mindfulness, all right?
Uh-huh.
The four are, number one, the body. And the whole idea of the body is to be relaxed rather than uptight.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's more like that we're not ready for work. We're pleased that the work has been finished. What needed to be done has been done.
Uh-huh.
And now we can relax. And what was it that needed to be done was, in the old days, it was to solve a problem. Now the solving of the problem is to ignore it, or better still, to say that that's not a problem.
Uh-huh.
But I was confused for a moment, and now that there's not a problem, the work that needed to be done has been done. Therefore, mm-hmm. I can relax.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Very.
Now,
very.
Also within the concept of the mind, there's two aspects of the mind. One is the mind attitude or the mind state, or how the mind is. And then there is the mind's thoughts. Okay? So let's examine that in the sense of an automobile. How an automobile is running depends upon its location. Okay, so how the mind runs depends upon the location of the mind or the state of the mind. For instance, if the car is underwater, it's not going to run very well. If it's at a very, very high altitude where it doesn't have any oxygen, it's not going to run very well.
Sure.
If it's trying to climb a very, very steep hill, it's not going to run very well.
Correct.
But if it's running downhill, now it's really easy.
Yes.
Okay. So let's change our mental attitude so that everything is downhill and everything is easy.
Uh-huh.
And then the thoughts that we have will be wholesome thoughts because mm-hmm. everything is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the last one is the feelings. How do we feel?
Yes.
And an example of that is that if the body has a sensation, maybe a strong sensation, we call it pain. And the reason that we call it pain is because we don't like that sensation. And we call it pain. All right. So Vedana means how we feel about it. So we have the body.
Yes.
We have the feelings. We have the state of mind or the location of the mind. And then you have the mind's objects or like how the car is running, depending upon the location of the car. So these are the four foundations, and those four foundations constitute reality. Another way of looking at reality in respect of those four foundations is our senses. What do we see? What do we hear? What do we touch? What do we taste? What do we smell? And this proprioceptive system, which is like touch. For instance, you can close your eyes and then you can describe your body posture in detail. A really easy example is close your eyes and raise your arm above your head, either one of them. Okay, do you know where that arm is now? Okay, open your eyes and look at it and see if it's where you thought it was. See, it's where you thought it was.
Correct.
How did you know where it was? You weren't looking in the first place. It's because you have that sense of bodily location. All right, and so that constitutes reality. So the body and all of its postures and all of the inputs that the body gives, but our attitude is mental. Okay, so if we see somebody walking down the street in a particular uniform, we're going to have a feeling and an attitude about that uniform rather than just seeing the uniform the way that it is. Okay, so
that's conditioning, correct?
Right, that's the conditioning that we have, the sankhara. Okay, so we perceive things based upon the input that we're having in the moment, plus old stuff, and we often come up then with conclusions that are not real. And so that's, and those would be the unwholesome thoughts, would be the unwholesome, unreal things, to where the reality of the situation is that right now in the room you're in, you're safe. That's the reality of it.
Sure.
And yet we may not feel safe.
Correct.
All right. And the reality is that there's no snakes on the floor. There's no alligators. You don't have any sharks swimming around at your feet. There's no, there may be Russian mafia in Phuket, but they're not at your door.
No, exactly.
They're not bothering you right now. Okay. So the reality is that we're safe.
Yes.
So why is it so often that we feel insecure and unsettled and unsafe? That's based upon perception, not reality. Okay, does that answer your question? If we can stay real, we can stay happy.
Sure.
When we imagine shit, we're in the shit. What shit? The shit we made up.
Exactly. And hence what you say, our perception of something, that's right. So, you know, one of the things in that talk with Guru Viking really was phenomenal. What you were saying is like how you talk about Western psychology and how it goes back to deep roots, you know, and things that happened to us in the past. But I love your analogy where you talk about the big tree and that the roots are deep down, but the healthy ones are on the surface. There's nothing that's actually deep down, but hence, when I go and see it, you talk to a therapist, you talk to this, that, and this, you've carried it from previous lives, you know, it's inherited in your genetics through your family, you know, it's something why I was bullied when I was a kid and now I feel scared. But the way you explain it is, well, there's nothing that's deep, and it's phenomenal. Like, it really opened me up to say, well, hang on a minute, it's right there right now, get rid of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That in fact, it is possible that someone can hear that those are old issues, they're in your DNA, and we can accept the things that we cannot change. But, and that's possible, but most likely we blame it and says, yes. Oh, that's old stuff and I can't get rid of it.
Correct.
Okay. And so that kind of teaching backfires for most people.
Sure.
The reality is that that old stuff is old. You can't change the past.
No.
But something comes up now, you can do something about it now.
Wow. You know, it was so refreshing to hear that because, I mean, I'm 50 soon and, you know, spending the last 30 years, 35 years blaming what happened in, you know, in Australia as a kid growing up and, I'm the way I am. I have anxiety. I get scared because I was constantly, attacked by the older teenagers and beaten up. And hence now when I'm out and about, I'm like, what's the old, like the caveman with the saber tooth. So I'm constantly in fight flight. But then when I'm listening to you talking and saying, well, you know, again, like you say, there's no need to go there because it's here right now. So when it comes now.
Right. When you were a kid, there were bullies. Now there are no bullies.
Yeah, that's right.
But we still feel like we're being bullied because that's the feeling we developed back then. But the reality is there are no bullies. It's only a perception. It's only a feeling that we have now. And we can change that by staying real. The reality is that, I don't have to feel insecure and unsafe. There's no bullies here right now.
Yeah, wow. So then hence again, it's just coming back to the breathing, back to focusing, coming present
right now. Back to reality, back to the body, back to the breathing, back to the feelings, so that we can change those feelings to feel safe, because the reality is that we're actually safe.
Yeah, correct. It's only our perception that makes us feel that we're not safe. But as you say, I'm sitting here now and there's nothing wrong. I'm fine. I'm safe. There's no one coming at me.
Wow. And so that attitude also is the attitude of a victim. We were all born as a victim. When we were kids, we were bullied. We felt victimized to them. But now you're a grown man. There's no bullies around. Now it's the time for you to feel not just safe and secure and comfortable and satisfied, but you can feel successful. You can feel like you're the boss of your life now. You're the winner here. That's the reality is ain't nobody going to fix you and ain't nobody going to break you. You do all the fixing and breaking yourself.
Yes. Wow. That's awesome. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, it was such a, I've listened to it a couple of times, you know, and I've made some notes on it where you talk about where the Buddha says that, you know, it's good in the beginning, good in the middle and good in the end. And I'm sometimes thinking negative or, you know, bad thoughts are coming in, then I start to say that to myself, okay, well, it's good in the beginning, it's good in the middle, and it's good at the end, you know, and I start to perhaps just chant it in a way to myself or repetitively say it to myself to help that that negative thinking. But one of the other things I thought was great, what you said too, was like most people sit on the mat for an hour, you know, you talked about the knees and the injuries, etc. But you're right. Like, I mean, sometimes for me, I found myself before I was sitting quite long times. And I had one of my Tai Chi teachers one time who brought me into meditation and that. And he was like, no, you sit through the pain, you relax, you release, you let go, you don't get attached, you know, put yourself uncomfortable. And then I think, but, you know, you're in pain. You're sitting there and you're trying to relax.
That's the whole point is you can't relax when you're in pain. That's asking too much.
Yeah, correct.
The thing to do is to come out of the pain and then congratulate yourself. Oh, wow, what a relief. I'm not in pain now.
That's so true.
Okay.
But
that's the standard typical mentality of our society is that you have to put up with whatever it is. Okay. So most people don't like their jobs, but they do the job anyway. They do what they're told to do.
Correct.
So this guy that you're talking about, he's just doing what he was told to do, grin and bear it.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
I would rather set it down and then grin.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So true. But the good thing in that talk was as well, where you say it, instead of using the whole hour to sit and not being, what was it, where, you know, we sit an hour and we're not actually mindful. We're dreaming and we're lost and we're everywhere. What you said, to break it up into, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, smaller, more powerful sort of sits, rather than, you know, oh, I'm going to, because that's where I found myself before. I want to try and sit an hour and a half. Can I do it? Although I do notice sometimes when I was sitting longer that the mind did start to calm down towards the end. It felt like I was taming it, but unfortunately it wasn't in the beginning. Maybe the first 40 minutes weren't so wholesome.
Right. Okay. So here's a point. And that is that, okay, so let us say that you had some success in that. After 40 minutes, you calmed down, uh-huh. All right? And now you're in Thailand, but you were in Australia, and, huh?
I was here when I done it all.
No. I'm talking about when you were young. I'm about to talk about police.
Sorry, okay.
Okay. And that is that they have police that chase people around. In Phuket, the people don't chase around.
No.
They sit and enjoy their lives. But in the U.S. especially, they have traffic stops.
Correct.
Okay. Are you going to tell that officer, you have to stand beside my car and wait 40 minutes until I calm down?
Wow. Good point.
No, we need to be able to calm down right now.
Correct.
And how do we learn to do that is by taking out of those unwholesome thoughts. Instead of waiting for them to settle down, we throw them out, we remove them immediately. So instead of having thoughts, I don't like this cop stopping me, we can have the thought, he's just doing his job. And there may be some benefit out of this. Let's make this guy's day.
Yeah. Correct. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny, a friend of mine, I've got two friends here in Phuket that we're our own little group of, you know, we ask questions amongst ourselves, and my friend shared the chat with Guru Viking of you, and I'm like, wow. And I listened to it. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I really wanted to hear it the way that you lay it out. Because like you say, there's a lot of teachers out there that are, you know, charging big bucks, but they're not giving you the reality of what it really is. It's like you say, I'm a guru. I'm a meditation master. Come and train with me for 7,000 and I'll teach you a load of shit.
And then maybe give you a piece of paper, and now you're a meditation master.
Yeah, exactly. Then I go out and start marketing. Hey, look at me. But unfortunately, I've still got a lot of inner demons. And that's the problem that I find in this world.
No, you don't have a lot of inner demons. What you have is a demon that comes to visit on occasion.
Ah, correct. Okay, yes.
And
yes.
You can deal with this demon right here, right now. Instead of thinking, oh, I've got a whole bunch of demons I have to deal with. Oh, no, they just come one thought at a time, one at a time, one by one as they occur.
Wow. What, you know, the one thing, I guess, and it's probably patterning and conditioning, isn't it? Because I find that, you know, we always have the constant thought, same thoughts over and over, same conditioning. And the only way, what you did say in that talk was, it's just to keep bringing yourself back to the moment. There's an analogy, I think it's from Buddhism, that you have the glass of dirty water and you keep adding a drop of fresh water into that dirty water, and eventually the dirty water becomes clean water. Is that the same with the thoughts?
Actually, it takes longer that way. Keep putting, what you need to do is to take the dirty water and let it sit all by itself. And the pollution will go to the bottom. But if you keep putting drops on the top of it,
you stir it.
It's going to keep it stirred up a little bit longer.
Wow.
This is why you want to just set that stuff aside. Okay. And then instead of putting another drop of water in the dirty water, let's go ahead and drink that drop of good, clean water right now.
Yes, that makes sense. Wow. Okay. So again, basically, like you say, it's just being throughout the day, it's being more cautious of your unwholesome thoughts and then turning them around into wholesome thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's what the Buddha said. When you use the word demon, I'm not against that word, because the word demon and the word Mara are compatible with each other. And the Buddha says, aha, I see you, demon. Aha, I see you, Mara.
Yeah, correct.
But that aha, I see you is a different attitude that, oh, no, the demons are back.
Okay, got you. So hence when, I get it.
So that's that drop of water right there. That drop of water is, aha, I see you, demon.
Yes, got you. Okay. And then again, just, I see you, I got you, and then back to the breath, back to just present moment. So the constant awareness of the present moment, that is when we want to sit in the present moment, that's, so sitting in the present moment, is that constantly having to follow the breath? Is that an effort there? Is that a lot of effort that you have to sit in that?
It's an effort when you want to do it all the time.
Okay.
Instead of accepting that sometimes the breath goes away, and when it does and you remember, aha, now's the time to just start again. In other words, don't make any rules about how you're supposed to do this. Let's not have concepts. Let's have nurturing. To nurture yourself so that now is the time to take a deep breath. Now is not the time to fuss at yourself for having not taken a deep breath a minute ago.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha. Again, same thing. If you're cursing yourself, you're just stirring up that dirty water, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Fantastic. My God, that's awesome. So then in a recommendation, if I can ask you, what would you say that for me to do? Maybe I shouldn't ask you. What would you recommend that I do to work towards getting myself better at that? Or just
don't try to be better at it.
Just flow.
That's wanting something that you don't have. You want to get better at something.
And that's
the way to practice is that right now it's good.
Okay. Understand.
Right now this is good. Never mind 10 seconds ago, never mind an hour ago, never mind 30 years ago. Right now it's good.
Yes. Okay.
That's what we need to practice. We don't need to practice getting better. We need to practice being already okay right now.
Wow. God, that's awesome. Thank you. Wow. Okay. I'm glad I heard that. Unfortunately, I've been hunting around and doing. It was funny because in that video where you talk with Guru, you were talking how people do ayahuasca, and I was meant to come over to Koh Phangan. I think it was January. I was meant to come over and do an ayahuasca ceremony, and I didn't come over. I didn't do it. But what I did do here, I done mushrooms with a friend of mine, but it was quite a big dose, and it just, in that, it collapsed everything about you. And I found in that thing that it was telling me that I need to be more forgiving, more loving towards myself and others. Hence what you're saying is be more present, be right now, don't worry about the past, don't worry about the future, be here now
and be loving to yourself, be nurturing. This is okay, I've got this, I'm all right.
Okay. Wow. So a constant of nurturing yourself to make yourself in the moment feel that you're happy and content and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay to do that. That's no problem.
Well, it's true.
Uh-huh.
Right now you are safe and secure and comfortable. Just be in reality.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Awesome. That's fantastic.
Now, there are, some people will use other language. One of the words that I've heard recently is the word validation.
Yeah.
Okay. You do not need validation. You're already valid. You're already there. Okay, that's validation. This breath is validation.
Yeah, you're alive.
Okay. And that looking for validation, there's an old song about looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes. Yeah.
We look for validation in all the wrong places. Where do we look for validation? From others. We want other people to validate us.
Uh-huh.
Where in fact, what we really need to do is to validate ourselves.
Wow.
Through nurturing. Everything is okay. I'm all right. I love me so much that I don't need anybody else to love me.
Wow. That's awesome. All right, cool. And hence, there's no problem to, like, in a sense of constantly running that through your mind, like as a chant type thing, like, I'm fine, I'm safe, I'm happy right now. Is that okay to do that, or is there...
That's it. But what's not okay is to say, oh, I should have already done that.
Okay, sure. Yes.
Rather than just doing it now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's awesome. Wow. I'm so glad I rang you. I a few questions that were in there, and I was thinking, I really want to get on top of this now, right now, not tomorrow, not today, now. And
get on top of the world right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wow. Well, hopefully in April, my daughter's got 2 weeks school holidays, and I'd love to try and get over that part of the world and see. Maybe I was even thinking of ducking over to Watsu and Mo and having a look around again, but I haven't done the retreat there yet.
Actually, the better retreats are done at Deep of One over on Koh Samui.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Look up their website, Deepapawan.
Deepapawan.
Yeah, Deepabhavean. You can Google that.
Okay, no worries. I'll have a look at that, because I know that I've had some friends go to Watsu and Mok before and do the, I think it's 10-day retreats, but it's pretty brutal. You have to sleep on a cement bed and a wooden pillow.
They've got bamboo beds at Deepapawan.
Okay. So it's still pretty brutal for a Westerner who's never slept on a hard surface.
Well, a lot of people know that, and they'll bring a yoga mat.
A yoga mat's 5 millimeters thick, yeah?
Well, that's better than laying on cold concrete.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I mean, hence, I think in a sense too, for me, because I have to carry my disabled boy around a lot, I have a lot of neck and back pain. So if I'm laying on a surface like that, it really hurts me a lot. But that's why I've not ever done one yet. But it's something that I'm wanting to try. And I want to dabble in that.
I strongly recommend Deepapawan. It's not nearly as brutal.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I know the one at... the international side of Watsu and Mok, that one's pretty rigid. You know, it's 4 a.m., you're up, you're chanting, you're meditating, it's hourly, then you get a break. So it's pretty brutal, my friend said.
Well, it's always brutal when we do what we're told to do. It's possible for you to go to that retreat and enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of finding the brutality of it, like you say, the perception, isn't it? It's always perception, your perception of it. If you change the perception, you change the outcome of it as well, don't you? Wow.
Well, the perception often is the outcome.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Oh, that's so awesome. That's awesome. And how's things in Koh Phangan now? Busy?
No. Daniel is in Chiang Mai. Eric is still in Laos. David is at Wat Khao Tum.
Yeah, where's Wat Khao Tum?
Michael is here living on the porch.
Oh,
Kat
wow.
has gone to Udon Thani.
You're
in Phuket. We've got quite a crowd already in Thailand as we speak.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, actually, I tried to find that monk you were telling me about that was in Phuket. I had no luck finding him.
Ah, well, yeah, I was about to ask you, have you found him? Because I haven't heard anything about him for years. His name is Virasakvirudamo.
Yeah, I had some Thai friends try to track him down, and whether I was saying his name wrong or spelling it wrong, but there was, it's funny, Damarato, because Phuket being such a huge...
Monks move around a lot.
Yeah, that's right. But the thing in Phuket that really bothers me is that it's such an international island, you know, international place, but yet there is absolutely no, there's no wats here that cover the Westerners. Sorry.
Yeah. That's entirely my fault.
Oh, really? You're supposed to be here?
Yeah. Achan Po ordered me to go to Phuket.
Oh, wow. But you said
And my wife ordered me, oh, no, you're not.
She's a smart woman. Wow. Okay. Didn't realize. Yeah, because I always ask that question. There's a lot of wats here in Phuket, but there's actually no one who's doing, there's no international wats for a Westerner like me who lives here to go and sit. I understand a bit of Thai, like probably 50%, but I do not understand the Buddhism terminology of Thai. You know, I've never been through that. So there's one here. I live in Katu in Phuket, and up on the hill not far from me, there's a wat that's supposed to be pretty good. All the Thais go there and say it's quite good. But again, everything is done in Thai. So it's pointless if I go there because I'm not getting it, you know?
Well, in a way, you could say that they need you more than you need them.
Okay, wow.
And one of the things that you can do is you can start looking around, because I don't know how many wats there are on Phuket, but there's three or four big ones.
There's Wat Chulalongkorn here, which is one of the biggest ones, but unfortunately, it's a corrupted wat. It's just a tourist mecca. They have an ATM machine in there. They have stalls. I very rarely see the monks there, you know, like, everyone talks about how it was a great wat. The abbot who ordained it years ago was a magical monk, but now it's kind of, you know, it's a tourist mecca. And most of the other ones, there's a wat 2 minutes from my house, but again, it's a horrible place. You go there and they're selling Buddhist amulets to the Chinese tourists for, like, you know, upwards to 100,000 baht. And it's like, how can you do that? It doesn't have any what's spirituality to it in my eyes. So I'm trying to find something where I could go and sit with them and do the stuff, you know, and it's quite difficult, unfortunately.
Well, instead of looking for all of the problems, start looking for the value, start looking for the good in it.
Yeah, sure.
That right around the corner from the monk who's selling Chinese amulets for 100,000 baht, there could be an old monk sitting there having peace and quiet.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, okay. I need to, there is quite a lot of wats on the island, and I haven't looked at many of them. There's a few that I've got. One I used to go to was awesome. But the monk that was there has moved on. But it's just trying, like I said, for me, I'd like to go. I wish we had the international, like, you know, in Chiang Mai, in Samui, there's so many great wats out there. And unfortunately, in Phuket, there's none that, you know, have their hands wide open to Westerners.
You're exactly giving me the same information that I've already known for years.
Yeah.
So I agree. I agree with you completely, but that doesn't mean that you should stop visiting the watch.
Okay.
The more you know about it, especially by looking for the value, looking for the good, and also look for elder monks, those who have been monks. Look for old men.
Okay.
Not the young monks who can sell stuff for 100,000 baht, but look for the old monks.
Sure.
Those that have been ordained for more than 20 years, in their 40s and 50s. They're the ones who probably would agree with you that the wats have gotten corrupt.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, all right, I'll have to make an effort to do that, because there's another one. that I've always wanted to go and have a look at as well, which is about 5-10 minutes away. And I've been in there before on my motorbike, and kind of one time I went in there and one of the monks was waving me over, and I kind of like was like, oh no, I'm going, because I get scared they ask you for money and stuff like that, you know, which I had.
Monks generally don't ask for money.
I got caught once, but whether I, two monks, I picked them up on the side of the road. I was with my daughter and I dropped them to a bus station, and yeah, he was like, oh, we need to get to Chiang Mai and I can have some money. And I gave him 1,000 baht, and then he was like, oh, what about that monk? And I'm like, oh, and I only, unfortunately.
He's got 500.
Yeah, exactly. Because
you're going to give him half of what you got.
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, yeah, I only had 1,000 baht notes, so I had to give him one. Then he asked for more again, and I'm like, oh, I was like, I gave him another 1,000. I said, done, that's your car. Oh, you take your karma. This is my good merit. Get out of my car. And ever since then, I'm scared to go near the Wats and the monks here in Phuket.
Well, there is a word that you can use. It's called no.
Yeah. Correct. So exactly right. Exactly right. Hence, a monk shouldn't be touching money anyway. Is that correct, Amaretto?
Right. It's the younger monks who do. That's why I recommend that you hang around older monks.
Sure. Okay, done. No problem. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, I won't take any more of your time, Damarada. I really appreciate it. If I'm coming over, I'll let you know in advance, and I'll be so looking forward to visiting.
Benny, it's such a good thing that you called. I'm really glad to see you again.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see you, Damarada. Thank you for your time and answering my questions. Have an awesome afternoon, Damarada.
You too.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.